Welcome to Inside LaPorte Schools, where we focus on real conversations, clear answers, and one community. I'm Sandra Wood, superintendent of the LaPorte Community School Corporation, and today we're taking you inside Kesslen campus for an in-depth look at the fifth grade experience. Join us as we explore the stories and voices that make our schools unique. Okay, so let's dive into our very first episode ever. So really excited to have some amazing guests here today. You know, as we started our conversation about we'd like to have a podcast for LaPorte Community Schools, we were thinking about what is the first topic to really dive into. And it really came to our mind that we needed to talk about the fifth grade and the Kesslen campus as first sort of hot topic to dig into, because we know this is a topic that is important to a lot of people. So I want to introduce my guests. With me today is Mr. Bill Wilmson, who is the principal of the Kesslen campus. He is the principal for both the Kesslen Intermediate School and LaPorte Middle School. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
Our next guest then is Mrs. Melissa Mrozinski, and she is the counselor for fifth grade. So welcome.
Yes, thank you. Good morning.
And our third guest today then is Lori Scroggin, and she is one of our fifth grade classroom teachers.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you for being here. And thank you for diving into this. This is a new platform for us, and we're really excited about the opportunity for this. So we want this to just be a conversation, and we're going to dig into the topic of the Kesslen campus, specifically the fifth grade and the evolution of all of that and how that's kind of come to be. I'd like to start just with some context, because I've been here for about 5 months, and coming into this position, the topic of the fifth grade and the concern of the fifth grade and that transition from fourth to fifth, and does fifth really belong in the Kesslen campus, was one of the first topics that came to me when I first got here. And if I'm being honest, it was a topic that I heard about before I got here and was on my mind because I'm a parent in the district. And I had heard, you know, some things in the community in regards to concerns, and it was in my mind that is this the right structure? And so, you know, I kind of came into the position knowing that this was a question that I wanted to ask right away. So as we kind of start this conversation, let's just talk a little bit about the history here. The first year that the Kesslen campus in its current form came into existence was the 2019-2020 school year?
It was 2019-2020 school year.
Okay.
Correct.
So, Mr. Wilmson, you were the principal prior to that transition. You were the principal of Kesslen Middle School.
Correct.
Back when it was a 6-8 and was
Correct. The
one of two middle schools
Correct.
In LaPorte. Just from your perspective, were you involved in the decision to change the structure?
No, I was not involved at all. Back when this all started, the conversation was to have two separate middle schools like we had before, build a brand new Boston Middle School, and renovate Kesslen Middle School so that they were even, so we could have a guaranteed and viable curriculum. And then when the prior administration started, I'd say about 2-3 months into it, I was told that, and the community was told that we weren't going to do two middle schools, that we are going to do a 5-6 intermediate school and a 7-8 middle school on the Kesslen campus. And, you know, there was no discussion with the community. There was no surveys put out. This was a decision made by prior administration with what I would call limited input from the community. So like you said at the beginning, you know, you were hesitant about this big campus
yeah.
with fifth grade there. And actually, I was too.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time period, there was no discussion regarding that. But since we started all this, I would have to say fifth and sixth graders do belong together.
Yeah.
Because the age characteristics, the growth that goes on, it's a group that really belongs together. And 7-8 belongs together, separate from the high school, so it is a nice transition and break.
Sure, sure.
You know, and the advantage of what we have now is that all the kids are on that campus, so that first transition is between fourth and fifth grade. There is a transition to sixth and seventh grade, but it's not that severe because mm-hmm. of the fact that the kids are already there.
Yeah.
The students are already there. They know the processes. They know the building. So it's basically the transition fourth to fifth, and then 8th and 9th like we've always had.
Yeah. So that's interesting, just because that's been a common theme that's come up through the last couple of months as we've worked through some different transition pieces that we're currently going through. And, you know, one of the comments that's been made was that the Kessling decision was not done transparently. So there isn't a whole lot that we can say to that because
it wasn't true.
Yeah.
There was limited transparency. Mm-hmm. It was a decision that was made that was brought upon the community. And actually, I don't know if a lot of people in the community actually knew what was going on until they started seeing construction happen on the campus.
Yeah.
And then people realize, oh my gosh, fifth grade's going up to that campus. They're mm-hmm. no longer going to be in the elementary mm-hmm. schools. This is my 20th year as principal at Kessling. So I was here through this whole process. And as administrator, it was thrown upon a lot of my responsibility to develop what the program would be like, how would we structure stuff. And that first year when we were open is far different than what we have now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, along the way, we had growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
We still have growing pains. But we have finally, after 6 years, have really refined it to a place where I think we have one of the best programs for kids in fifth grade in the county and in the state.
Yeah.
Because of what we offer our kids. We have 18 dedicated fifth grade teachers that I would hold up against any teacher in the county.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great staff. We have great counselors. And we're fortunate to have what we have.
That's great. That aligns with a lot of what I've seen when I've been in the building and I visited classrooms. And coming into this, I was hesitant and not sure that what we're doing on that campus is the right thing. And after some classroom visits, I was really impressed with what I saw when I got in. Mrs. Mrzynski, let's talk just a little bit going back in time to when that transition happened. Tell us a little bit about where you were in the district when the decision was kind of made and then how you came to be in your position as the fifth grade counselor.
Sure. I had heard that this was happening. I was teaching fourth grade at Heilman at the time. And the next year, I chose to move up to fifth grade because I knew the following year that they were going to be moving over to Kessling.
Okay.
And I was excited to be part of that change. I was really excited by that. And even as a fifth grade teacher at Heilman, and I know Mrs. Scroggin worked with fifth grade students too before, you notice a change in fifth graders after Christmas when they were in the elementary mm-hmm. building. You noticed just a growth that happened almost midway through that. When I was a fourth grade teacher, you would kind of look at the fifth grade students and be like, okay, it's about time for you to transition, because they were just socially ready for that change.
Sure.
So when I came to Kessling as a fifth grade teacher, like I said, I was very excited about it. And the first year, we worked in teams of four teachers. And that was okay. But I think that big transition for mm-hmm. those students to move amongst four classes of teachers.
So at that time, each student was assigned four different teachers
yes.
throughout their day, which is
yes.
which is pretty similar to a middle school or
right.
closer to a high school
it
model.
It was
even.
A lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they're coming from eight different elementary schools. So they are, you know, they have old friends, they're trying to make new friends, and they have four teachers and lockers, which they're all terrified by lockers. It was a big jump. And we saw kids kind of getting lost in the shuffle a little bit. And I remember even Mr. Wilmson one day saying, I don't understand how some of these kids can have so many missing assignments. Like, how do the teachers not know that there are missing assignments such as that? And I said, I can understand because I just teach the kids reading and science. I don't know really what they're missing in math and social studies. So the following year, counselor position came open, and Mr. Wilmson had the conversation with me because he knew that was my life dream. And he was like, I have a spot. You start a program, and let's make this happen. So I was so grateful for that opportunity. I started my master's degree program immediately and moved into the role of school counselor the next year. Mr. Wilmson is just an amazing administrator where he just really listens to our ideas. And so he was very open to what can we do to make it better? What What is happening? What are we doing now? What can we do? That's when he and I had the conversation about maybe looking at two people teams, making it smaller. Mm-hmm. So kids are only having two teachers, which a lot, they were already doing a lot at the elementary level.
Yeah.
A lot of times they do switch between two teachers. So that was a much smoother transition for the kids. And we saw a lot more success that second year with the students academically, socially. Mm-hmm. It really was a smoother transition.
Mrs. Scroggin, tell us a little bit about your journey to your current position, because you didn't start out with the fifth grade at the Kesslen campus when it moved. So tell us a little bit about where you were when the transition happened, and then talk a little bit about your decision to join the fifth grade team.
Sure. So before I moved to Kesslen, I had 20 years experience in LaPorte Community Schools. Most of my time was spent as a third grade teacher at Heilman. And as my children got older, as a mom, I always, you know, like tried to follow them. Not that they liked that, but, and Melissa's one of my good friends, and she told me about all of the amazing things that were happening at Kesslen, and just kind of like how fifth grade was working and how it was more elementary than middle school. One thing that also drew me to Kesslen was I would still have younger students. It's set up, to me, it's more elementary than anything, because I start my day with my kids. I end my day with my same TA. And I really just have 46 students who I share my day with this year. But I just really liked the fact that I got to focus on just a couple of subjects and just pour my heart into those subjects and really focus on, I teach reading and science, and I get to do those twice a day. So that was really an opportunity that I wanted to have. So when there was an opening, I contacted Mr. Wilmson, and I was able to take myself over to Kesslen, and it was such a great change. I love, like I said, the opportunity to be able to focus on just a couple of subjects. I have an amazing teaching partner. We're able to work well and stay on top of everything with our students. Our students basically switch just right. We're right next door to each other. So we just have the switch across the hall. And I'm really thankful that I've had the opportunity to go to Kesslen. And like I said, it's more elementary than middle school. Just like for the holidays, we were able to have a holiday party. We're able to do fun things with the kids, just like I would have when I was at Heilman in third grade. There are a lot of opportunities for the kids, like you said, to still be kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you and your teaching partner have, I noticed when I was there that each of the teams seemed to have like catchy little names for their groups. Yeah. So what's yours?
So we work really closely. We are considered 5-2. That's our team. And so there's a 5-2A, which is myself and my teaching partner, and a 5-2B. And we work really closely together planning, like the language arts teachers and the math teachers. So we are Team Peanut Butter and Jelly. So 5-2A.
I think that's so cute.
It's peanut butter, and then the other team is jelly.
That's awesome. Yep. And that's just, you know, fifth grade. I'm sure that those little themes for their classes, the kids are the age that they probably really get into that kind of thing. And you can integrate that in a lot of ways, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's kind of go back to that first year. So we had a setup where the building brand new. I've been through other construction projects before, and I know that usually in that first year, it's not finished. Is that fair, that there was probably some additional element of chaos or just an unsettled element? Because I'm guessing that you probably still had some pieces from construction that were wrapping up in
that
first year.
There were some pieces still to wrap up, but actually when we opened up, it was almost completed. So the construction process was pretty smooth.
So you have a brand new building, you have this new model, and initially the campus was split with two principals.
Correct.
That's correct. So administratively, you had yourself as the fifth and sixth grade principal.
Correct.
And then we had another administrator who was overseeing the seventh and eighth grade.
Correct.
Mr. Wilmson, you and I have talked a little bit previously about how that brought challenges in and of itself, because even though the two schools are separate schools and they are classroom spaces dedicated to two different areas of the building and there isn't much interaction, there's still a lot of shared space in the building, correct?
Correct.
So you have shared cafeteria.
Yeah, cafeteria is shared. We have shared gym spaces. With the programming that we offer on the campus, there wasn't enough space in the new building, so some of the current Kesslen building had to be used for some of the programming, like family and consumer sciences,
sure.
agriculture. At that time, the technology education course that we had, the band, choir, and orchestra mm-hmm. had to be in the current Kessling building. So we had that overlap. And also that first year, we shared a lot of staff. And we were on one schedule throughout the whole campus for four grades.
Mm-hmm.
It was a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It was a challenge so that, you know, we learned from that. Like in fifth grade where we had the four teachers, we went down to two teachers.
Right.
Campus-wide, after that first year, we separated all the staff except for the music staff. Because
mm-hmm.
we had to share and we offer music in sixth grade, which a lot of schools do not offer full-time music in sixth grade. And so we had to share staff, so we stopped doing that. And so that made a big difference. And
yeah.
then that allowed us to hone the programming that we have in 5-6. And then 7-8 was allowed to, you know, have some of that
sure.
freedom too.
Sure.
But like you said, from the beginning, I never felt like there should have been two principals on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, that was not a decision
right.
well, that goes, I was asked about.
Yeah, it goes back to the fact that the planning phase of this was done separately from
correct
the group that was kind of implementing. And so that right in and of itself is going to create some challenges yeah. when you put something into action if there's a vision on one side and the practical piece is not aligned. So
yeah.
so certainly I can see that created some challenges. So going back to the schedule itself for students, so you started with four teachers. How many years was that model in place before then you trimmed it down?
I think it was 2 years. And starting the third year, we went to two-person teams.
Okay.
And that has worked mm-hmm. exceptionally well.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is that there's this misconception that 7th and 8th graders are hanging out with 5th graders mm-hmm. during the whole day. And that's absolutely false. 5th grade is on the second floor of the Kessling building. And two teacher teams, it's right across from each other. And 7th and 8th graders are not permitted to be in that area
right.
during the school day.
Right.
Unless there's a reason. Sometimes some of the 7th and 8th graders will come down and mentor some kids.
Sure.
And they're invited to read to kids or to work with some of our life skills kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's worked awesome to have that older mentor.
Sure, absolutely.
But students know that they are not allowed mm-hmm. to go upstairs
yeah.
on the second floor. And actually, on the first floor where we have some sixth grade classrooms and some of our life skills, kids are not allowed down certain hallways
yeah.
in seventh and eighth
yeah.
grade. Because we still share some classrooms over there.
Mm-hmm.
However, like I've talked to you before, is that each year we've made some adjustments.
Right.
And we're finally to a point after 6 years, because this is only my second year as principal mm-hmm. of the whole campus. Last year, the decision wasn't made until July. We had a schedule made. Even though the teachers on the LaPorte Middle School side knew me, a lot of them never had me as their principal.
Sure, yeah.
So I had to work mm-hmm. with what we had in place and gain their trust
yeah.
and have those discussions about how could we do things better
mm-hmm.
this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we kept the fifth grade how it is mm-hmm. with two teacher teams. But in sixth grade, we made a huge change. We went from five teacher teams down to three, which is more along the lines of the intermediate school concept.
Yes.
And so our philosophy is to transition from elementary school to eventually high school.
Mm-hmm.
We went from two teacher teams now in fifth grade and sixth grade to three teacher teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then in seventh and eighth grade, we have four teacher
yeah.
teams.
So it's more of an incremental step process as
correct.
They're progressing from fifth to sixth and then into the middle school, junior high
yeah.
kind of model mm-hmm. in seventh and eighth. Going back to a comment that you had made about the misconception of the fifth graders are mingling. That was one of the things, you know, we sent out this survey and it was important to me coming into this because like I said, I heard things in the community before I came here. I had my own idea as a parent of different concerns that I maybe potentially would, my oldest is in kindergarten, so we have some time, but still these things cross your mind when you're planning for your kids and their future. And so when we asked the survey, it was really, we wanted to kind of nail down, like, what are the biggest concerns and where are the biggest areas for improvement? And in that survey, what came up a lot was this notion that fifth graders are mingling with seventh and eighth graders, and it's inappropriate because of the age gap. And so, you know, I mentioned that one of my first goals coming to the district was to get into that building, get into fifth grade, and I did not see that at all. So this, you know, and I spent several days in your building within the first probably 6 weeks of school, and I never saw that. And so I was struggling a little bit with, so why do we have this perception that that's happening when that's not the reality? And I had a conversation, and actually I think one of the staff meetings we had with the fifth grade team, and finally one of the teachers raised her hand and said, you know, well, that first year, that did happen. Yeah. It did happen where fifth graders were running loose in the hallway. There was this mixed element at the very beginning, but and this is a credit to you, Mr. Wilmson. Mr. Wilmson has worked very hard to change the schedule so that that doesn't happen anymore. Yeah. Mrs. Scroggin, let's hear from you a little bit in that regard, in that as the classroom teacher, and you know, this is your group of kids, and you know, they're your babies. Yep. So can you tell us a little bit about how the schedule has changed since the beginning to now, the point that there no longer is that opportunity that maybe existed before?
Sure. I was not there the first 2 years that the schools came together, but I did start the third year that the fifth graders were at Kessling. I also have experience as a parent because my daughter also went to fifth grade during the COVID time. So, but as a teacher, at the very beginning when I started, there may have been a few times where my students would have mingled or just been with me and we would have seen the older students. But Mr. Wilmson and his team have done a fantastic job of creating a schedule where really, I don't see, and neither do my students, we don't see any of the older students. One thing that I've heard a lot, too, as far as mingling goes, is I've heard parents say that they feel like their students are just thrown into this huge place. And as a teacher of fifth graders, I want everyone to know that I walk the students everywhere we go. So if we're going to library, we walk as a class. I'm always with them. I take them to the restroom, and I stay with them as a group down at the restroom. If we're going to PE, we walk together. When PE is over, I walk them back upstairs. So there's really never a time that the students are allowed to just wander around the halls during the school day.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think that's a really good testament to your willingness to listen and willingness to accept that, like, hey, this is new. This is a concept that we've never implemented in our district before. Yeah. It's a concept that's unique in our area. It isn't a concept that other districts are doing to a high degree, especially with our surrounding schools. And so this being a brand new thing, there are going to be things that we don't do well at the beginning. And so I really appreciate hearing that at some point that feedback was coming in and Mr. Wilmson and the team looked at that and said, okay, that's valid. That is a valid concern. We don't want fifth graders mingling in halls or walking from one place to another where they can be having these incidental exposure to the older kids. And you worked, and you know, I'm sure that all of those things probably weren't easy and probably took some time to work out, but it was important and you got there. And so, you know, that's a big piece is that, and I think it also helps to acknowledge that the perception from the community, some of our community did have that experience, and that's valid, and that there was a time that was real and that was the reality, but we've taken steps to improve it. And so as we move forward, you know, we need to continue to get feedback like that helps us to be better. And we're 6 years in, but you're only year one, right?
Correct.
Because your first year, you just kind of had that thrown on your plate sort of last minute, relatively speaking. So the first year was probably pretty status quo, but you're really now just getting the opportunity to be the single administrator over the entire campus, which is a huge piece to streamline some things.
Yeah. And we have that consistency. We have consistency of what expectations are campus-wide. There's that consistency with teachers, what's expected of them. I think the main point you made here is that at the beginning, yes, we were all on the same schedule. And so kids did intermingle a little bit. Our fifth grade teachers always walk kids everywhere, but there was that interaction. Now we're on four different schedules, and this is the first year where each grade has their own specific schedule. And this is actually the first year where during the day, seventh and eighth graders are not all moving at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's made a huge difference in the hallways.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a big difference when 400 kids are changing instead of at the beginning, 2,000 at a time,
mm-hmm.
which was just too much. Mm-hmm. So we learned. There's that growing pain. But now we're to that point now, it's where there's limited interaction. And at the end of the day, we've revised our dismissal now, where fifth grade goes first,
mm-hmm.
and the teachers walk them out to the buses. And then the sixth grade comes 2 minutes later, and they're out to the buses. And then at the end of the day, this is the first time we've ever done this, is that at 2:35, then the seventh and eighth graders come. And it's been a nice transition. We don't have big jams in the hallways. It's smooth. It's just been a nice transition.
I think it's important that we recognize that our staff sees how important it is for the kids to not have the opportunity to mingle with the other kids, because it is a big difference. You know, that's true. It's a big difference between fifth grade to eighth grade. And so I like hearing that it seems like all components of the schedule and all members of the staff recognize the importance to work together as a team to ensure that the structure for fifth graders is set up in a way that minimizes that or nearly eliminates that opportunity, because we do want to still allow those kids to have the opportunity to be fifth graders and to be kids.
Yep.
As we kind of wrap up this part of our discussion, and we're going to return with another episode on this same topic. We've talked a lot in this episode about just some of the struggles that happened in the beginning. And I think just acknowledging that it wasn't perfect in the beginning, it still is not perfect. There are still changes that have pretty recently come into play that I think our community needs to give it time to develop, and that can be hard, because we know that the families that are experiencing it are experiencing it now, and so I know that that can be a challenge, but I think that that speaks to our overall plan to let's really analyze this and see what we can do to pour what we have into this. It's our responsibility now to make it the best that it can be. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Inside LaPorte Schools. We hope you enjoyed hearing the stories that shape our community. Remember, this podcast is about you, your schools, your stories, your community. Stay connected, stay informed, and be proud of the difference we're making together.